Welcome in to the Monday edition of the Daily Tap. It is September 17th. How is everybody doing? I'm sure you're feeling a little gloom. I could imagine. You could pick your poison. Are you sad because the Packers tied a game that they absolutely should have won, if not for some shaky officiating? Is it that the Brewers lost 2-3 to the Pirates and the Pirates continue to own Milwaukee, now winning 11 of 16 against Milwaukee? Is it the Badgers completely shitting the bed against BYU? All of those things are going to be talked about here on the podcast today. It should be a fun, well, it'll be fun. It's going to be therapeutic. Mitch and I will be on Tapping the Keg, I hope, tomorrow. So Tapping the Keg a little earlier this week. We'll preview Packers-Redskins. We'll also look back to Packers-Vikings, talk about overtime, and also look ahead to Badgers-Iowa. All sorts of stuff wrapped up in that podcast as well. So you know Snowtap Network, Snowtap WI is where you find all of this. We're going to get part of Murph's Fantasy. We're going to get the weekend watch list, and we're going to get Wake and Take all up there. If you heard Wake and Take, I did not give away a lot of winners today. It's been a rough day in the yard for your boy. So not been great, but that's okay. NFL is a week-to-week year, and we move on. So let's get into it with the Packers-Vikings tie of 29 points. That game was a great game. Let's not understate that it was a really good, really fun Packer-Viking game. Both teams were at full tilt, but it was a game the Packers should have won. It's a game that they are definitely deserve. The referees deserve everything. And I know that there'll be a lot of tough guys, whether it be on local radio, whether it'll be, you know, in writing and say, well, you can't blame the officials because here's all the things Packers did. And I'm usually one to not blame officials. That's not sort of my bag, not what I'm about, but it's kind of hard to ignore what the officials did here in this game. I just really think they were putrid. I don't think there's anything you can look at and say that they weren't the issue. The problem here is the fact that Clay Matthews last week had the awful roughing the passer. This week, Clay had a pretty clean hit on the quarterback. It wasn't late. It wasn't egregious. He hit him kind of right in the middle. And I thought it was less offensive than the Eric Kendricks one, where I thought Kendricks did sort of drive Rodgers to the ground. Now, a lot of people who were Packer fans said, oh, that was not a roughing the passer either, which, fair. And really bad. And that Jair Alexander picked it off. The game would have likely been over. Vikings did have two timeouts with, I think it was about a minute 47 left. So Rodgers would have had a chance to run down the clock, and who knows if he would have ran it out. But there would have been a lot going on. And so then they dinked and dunked down the field. Mike Pettine definitely did not apply necessarily the pressure. I think there was some concern about getting burned deep. You can be a little critical of whether Pettine should have done that. I saw a great stat that Kirk Cousins did throw for 400 yards. There's going to be a lot of people who are going to SSD, right? But the fact is that he really threw 280 and he had two touchdown passes and two interceptions. But don't let that get confused. That was the result after the Jair Alexander interception, when Alexander made a great play on the ball, went and did a Lambeau leap, which was incredible, and still a great move. But old butthole eyes Tony Kareny decided to rob us all of the fun of beating the Vikings, being 2-0 in the division. Instead, we have to settle for a measly tie. Ties suck. It's not fun right now. Like, it's not, doesn't feel good. I think the Packers feel disrespected. I mean, Devontae Adams basically called it one-sided. He said this was kind of bullshit, basically. And I can't disagree with Devontae Adams. I don't want to blame officials, right? I think the only sport where I really am critical of officials is college basketball. But, like, I don't know what they're going to do with this roughing the passer call. Joe Thomas suggested that they need to, you know, make it a reviewable call. And I have to agree with Joe Thomas at this point, because this has now become, like Mike Pereira said. Mike Pereira was like, you know, we all thought that the sort of helmet-to-helmet hits would be sort of the most talked about new thing in the NFL, but it's the roughing the passer. and it decided a football game. I think that is where the fury is getting not only Packer fans, but analysts across the nation. Once again, the Packers are in the forefront of there, and the officials cost them half a victory. The officials owe them a victory, and it sucks. It's a shitty feeling. I don't think Viking fans are really that happy. I mean, they probably are more upset at the tie because of Daniel Carlson. Daniel Carlson, the kicker for the Vikings, had a chance to win this game for Minnesota, yet he missed multiple field goals. He missed the field goal. He missed two field goals in overtime. He missed another one earlier in the game, so he missed a grand total of three or four. He was just awful. And you feel for him a little bit just because it's a kicker and just like whatever. But yeah, Packers were lucky in that regard to get out of here with just the tie. But I think there would be a lot more fury and a lot more anger from Packer fans if the tie did not happen. Overtime rules also can just beat it. They shortened it to 10 minutes, and it's obviously far too short. They need to do, I don't know if it's stopping the clock. I don't know if it's making it 12 minutes and adding an extra 2 minutes, but it's way too little of time. I mean, there was only three possessions in that period. I don't know what the league has to do. Maybe you just give them one, both teams get a possession. If they don't score on those possessions, you do the same rules of the field goal, sudden death. And then from there, you basically start from the 50-yard line, and first team to score from there wins the game. I think you might have to do that because it's really the only way you're going to do it. And you're like, well, these games could go forever. Well, then after the first set of touchdowns, you institute a two-point conversion rule, just like college. And I just don't think ties are really that good for the league. I don't think anyone really wants a tie. I don't think that is something that the league is hoping, like, oh man, are we going to get another tie? And so now you've had two games that have gone to overtime and both have resulted in ties. Not a great look for the league. Aaron Rodgers did screw up in that overtime period. I have no idea why a zone read was called. Rodgers owned it. He should have gave the ball to Williams. Then he missed Cobb on a blitz. He owned up to that. But and you know, Aaron's human too. I thought Aaron, you know, with the injury, probably gave a B performance out there. I think the offensive line was an A. I think they did a great job protecting Rodgers. Obviously, had a few sacks, few moments, but I really thought that a lot of that is there, and you know, Rodgers just really did screw it up in the overtime period and cost them a chance at a field goal to win this game. And I think if Rodgers just gives it to Jamal Williams on second down, I think that they are at least in position for a long Mason Crosby field goal, and who knows what happens from there. But that was really rough, and I don't think the Packers should have gone for it. I think you will hear that as the day goes on tomorrow. I think what happens is when sports radio people do shows for the whole day, they just sort of start, you know, remedied on takes, and there will be a take out there that should the Packers have went for it on fourth down because the kicker was so bad. You obviously think that the only way they're going to beat you is with a touchdown. Maybe go for it, throw a deep pass, and it works as a punt if Rodgers throws an interception. To me, that wouldn't have been the craziest idea. I don't think McCarthy has the balls for it. I think that's just not something maybe a guy like McVay or Doug Peterson would do. I just don't see that as a Mike McCarthy move. The inability to score in the red zone obviously cost them dearly. The Packers got close so many times, obviously, with a, you know, they had, what, five field goals for Mason Crosby? I mean, Mason was great today. He was 5 for 6 from field goals. You can't really necessarily blame him for what transpired and everything going on. But yeah, no, I mean, they got so close and they just couldn't finish. Obviously, the Jimmy Graham hold, that was should have been a touchdown. I don't know why the Packers didn't go back to that play. That, to me, was a very nice play for the Packers. They didn't go back. Graham ended up having 6 catches for 95 yards. Tay had 8 catches, 64, and a touchdown. Allison, 6 catches, 64 yards. Geronimo Allison continues to do some things out there. I really liked what I saw from Geronimo Allison, obviously, with the block punt. But yeah, they got close and then just could not connect. I think that more has to do with a very tough Vikings defense. And you don't, it doesn't get easier next week against the Redskins. Redskins had a number six, top rated DVOA team last year. Granted, the Colts defense actually played really well against Alex Smith. And we saw Washington kind of come back to earth, and maybe we shouldn't have took Arizona too seriously. And I have no idea why I didn't take the Rams as my survivor pick. That was so fucking dumb. I got myself really involved into Denver, and just an absolute idiot. Denver is going to likely lose. They're down 19-10 as we tape this podcast midway through the fourth quarter. So, yeah, I think a part of the Packers not finishing was more to do with the Vikings defense and how good they are. And obviously, and they missed some calls. I mean, Devontae Adams got completely mauled in the corner from Xavier Rhodes. Again, the officials were terrible all game. Like, I hate to go back to that, but that played a large reason in the Packers' inability to finish in the red zone. I don't think it's worth sounding an alarm. It's definitely something to pay attention to. But I, you know, and then another guy who just I talk about, you know, costing them was Devon House. I mean, I don't know why the Packers, why Patton went with House over Josh Jackson. I can't put my finger to why they thought Devon House was a better option to face Stephon Diggs after we saw how many times Devon House got burned last year and he got taken to the woodshed again. And he was out there on a third, on a key third down in the overtime period and actually did okay. Kyler Fackrell got some time. I get getting guys rest. I think that was more of a you know, a break and someone needed a breather. But yeah, the Packers really do need to realize and get some, take some hard truths about Kyler Fackrell, Devon House, and they need to look into some other options. I think House is fine in moments, but you can't have him matched up with a receiver like Stephon Diggs, because what will end up happening is Kirk Cousins launches an absolute bomb and ends up getting, you know, beating you. I also wouldn't blame the defense. I know there's going to be people who are like, well, they gave up 22 points. Well, the only reason they got a point is because of a, the only reason they got eight was because of a roughing the passer. They gave up 14. I think Patton played a little too much zone for my liking and wasn't as aggressive as I needed him to be. But also too, like, the Packers settled for a field goal when if they get a first down or they get a touchdown after Ha-Ha Clinton Dix pick, they win this game. I mean, it's over, right? And so the fact is that they did their defense did their job. The offense, it just, they were just so close from finishing this game. They were so, so close. And I guess you're happy it's a tie because, yeah, it would be a really tough one, to, a really tough pill to swallow if they're 1-1. I would not, but so yeah, if you're going to blame the defense, I would love to have your stock. Because if you're selling stock on that defense, give it all to me. Because I am all about this defense. I think it's pretty good. I think they can do well against Washington next week. We saw so how they struggled like against Indy this week. And I think the Packers can definitely do some things. There'll be a pro-Packer crowd as well. Aaron Jones will help next week. I think he's going to really benefit from the shotgun runs. I think that sets up for more Ty Montgomery and Aaron Jones, to be honest. I like Jamal Williams. He runs hard. But I do think he's much better as an I formation back or, you know, a split back. I don't think he is as much, or a single back. I just don't think he's much of a shotgun running back. I don't think he's a spread style or pistol style running back. I think he's more in a pro style offense for a running back. So I do think Aaron Jones will get a lot of exposure. I'll be interested to see how much he plays. I don't think he's a fantasy play by any means unless you hear something from Mike McCarthy, only because he had such limited exposure in the preseason too. He's going to take a lot of time for Aaron to get acclimated and back into the mix. Kevin King, really the only injury that stood out. Obviously, bumps and bruises will come up as it did last week with the Devontae Adams injury. We'll be interested to see if King can go. It'd be really a shame if Kevin King is hurt again, kind of developing a little bit of a reputation with the injuries, and he had a growing problem, and so we'll see if King can go next week. If not, that will mean probably, hopefully more Josh Jackson, less Devon House. Although I will say, if there was a place to kind of start Devon House, it might be next week against Captain Checkdown Alex Smith. So we'll be back tomorrow. We'll, as Mitch says, we'll turn the page and we'll talk about the Packer offense likely against the Washington defense. We'll look at the game as a whole and get right into that. All right, moving on to the Wisconsin Badgers. So while the Packers tied, the Badgers lost, and they lost a bad game. They were way too conservative. Just an absolutely putrid coaching performance from Paul Chryst. I thought they just really played to just sort of be content with scoring, whether it be the tie or to tie the game at the end. Part of the first half was extremely conservative. I just think Paul Chryst did not do enough to help his team out from a coaching perspective. And it's rare to really blame something on Paul Chryst, but he did not really, I think, come prepared for this game. I don't think the Badgers as a team expected BYU to be this much better, because they looked at it last year. They're like, we came into their place, we beat them by 30 plus points. Like, there's no way that we can lose this game. Well, this BYU team is vastly improved. I mean, they're going to be a 7 or 8 win team. They're probably going to make a bowl game this year. But the fact of the matter is like, the Badgers are probably screwed for the college football playoff. I mean, they're going to need absolute chaos to find themselves in the mix. I mean, they're going to need a chaotic year for them to be even thought of in the playoff, because they're now down to 18. They have a very tough game against Iowa. They open as a 3.5-point road favorite. Very interesting. We'll talk about that. But they should have known that this was going to be a rock fight. When the trick play happened in the first half, they should have known at that point, like, they are not here to fuck around. And you have to be here. You have to go guns a-blazing. You cannot necessarily just waltz in and hope that you're going to win this game. And the Badger gave a C-plus effort, and they got a C-plus result. That's why they lost the game. They deserved to lose that game, and that it really was. It was just an absolutely pathetic performance. Alex Hornibrook showed his worst side. He had an interception, 190 yards. He had a bad interception. I mean, Jonathan Taylor rushed for 17 yards, but only on a 4.5 average. And, you know, Badger did okay on the ground, but still wasn't that exciting for this team. And like I said, Squally Canada went off for 11 carries, 118, averaged 10.7 yards per carry and 2 touchdowns. That was a real problem. And that defense, man, there's definitely some question marks with Jim Leonard's defense. This was probably the first time, I think, in a long time, we've seen the Badgers defense kind of get exploited. And you hope that it's just a one-week thing. You hope they figure it out, but it shows that maybe they have more cracks than we were led on to believe. The offensive line also, for as much hype and as much praise as they got this year, they were pretty awful in their own right. Hornibrook took some hits and definitely had less time to throw than he needed to be. So yeah, I'm not down usually with Hornibrook having 28 attempts and Taylor having 26 carries. I know that Groshek got some yard deal. So really, at the end of the day, you had more running, 43 running plays over 28. But still, you usually like getting Alex Hornibrook in that 20 range is the sweet spot. And him throwing the ball nearly 30 times usually doesn't help anybody. So rough game for the Badgers. They now have to turn the page and go on to Iowa, and we'll see how that goes for them. And they are bad day for the Big Ten. Big Ten lost 7 games in the non-conference. Thankfully, Ohio State saved them from an all-time bad day. But for as much hype and much praise as we gave the Big Ten to start this year, it was really disappointing in all facets, with all the losses, including the very embarrassing Northwestern Akron loss that took place on Saturday night. Finishing this podcast up with the Milwaukee Brewers. So the Milwaukee Brewers dropped 2 of 3 to the Pirates. The Pirates now have won 11 of 16 against them. Tom Hargecourt wrote an article today basically stating that the Pirates are to blame for the Brewers' lack of the reason they're 2.5 back of the Cubs. And I get that, but it's kind of like if my aunt had a dick, she'd be my uncle sort of theory. Like, okay, if the Brewers were 500 against the Cubs in the first 9 games, so they're 5-4, 4-5, they're leading the division right now, right? Like, they're leading the fucking division by half game. That would be 3 games. So you're leading the division. Instead, we're all focused on this Pirates team because, okay, the Pirates are a beatable opponent. They're a 500 baseball team. Like, they're a Milwaukee Bucks of Herb Cole era. Like, they're not a terrible team. They're not a good team either. They beat them because they had Ivan Nova had their number for the first time in forever. They could not score with runners in scoring position. They were 0-13 over on Saturday and Sunday. They were just missing that big hit, and that happens. And they've been so good for the last, 3 weeks now, that you had to expect them to have a clunker of a series at some point. You hate that it's against Pittsburgh because they've just been a thorn in the side. They've been just an asshole all year, but that's baseball, right? Like, the Cubs lost they didn't lose 2 of 3. They lost today to the Reds, and that was great because now you're 2.5. You're okay. Cardinals are struggling. Dodgers have them kind of on the ropes. You still have some leeway with the Dodgers. Like, everything's okay. Like, people are going to panic about this series, and you got to sort of relax. Like, you couldn't win every series going out. I mean, that would have been impressive, but if you look at our race to 90 wins, right, 93 wins, I think the Brewers still have like 3 or 4 more to lose before that doesn't become a reality. Like, they're doing okay. This is okay. This is fine. They're 20 games over 500. It is all okay. Now, do I think they need to beat the Cincinnati Reds tomorrow? Yeah, kind of today. I mean, I'm taping this on Sunday. But seriously, I do think they need to beat the Reds. Like, I think tomorrow is, I wouldn't say it's a must win. I'll put it in a must win category. I just think you need to get off to a good start against Cincinnati. You need to take back the reins. You have Wade Miley going, who's done okay against the Reds this sort of year. I think he's faced them a couple of times. They have DeStefani going, who's been tough against the Brewers this season, but very bad against lefties. So hopefully the Brewers can get to DeScal and win this baseball game because they definitely need it. Chacin needs to get run support too. You hate to think that this team's sort of getting content with just Jalys Chacín just being a good pitcher and having the ability to sort of ride out the wave. But yeah, they need more pitching. They need more support for Chacín, who has not got any run support in the last 2 starts. So definitely a frustrating weekend for the state of Wisconsin. But the good news is we have a whole slew of games to go over, talk about, dissect for week 3. They're out of the division now. You went 1-0-1 for the Packers. The Brewers are still fighting with the Cubs. Cubs have a very tough 3-game series against Arizona in their last road trip of the year before getting a day off on Thursday, which everyone will celebrate, and I'm sure Genius Joe will make some jokes about it. But yep, they'll be that, and the Badgers get their Big Ten season underway. So we'll be back all week tapping the keg, a daily tap, Pardon Murph's Fantasy, Weekend Watch List, and the NFL Wake and Take all coming at you next week. Happy to talk to you guys. It's been a good week. Continue to ride with us. We appreciate all the love and support. Take care. Have a good Monday. Later.